The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and sunset, not sunrise, the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
AlexRobinson.com is my website, and my name is Alex Robinson. Oh, it's not. Oh, I ruined it.
It's okay.
AlexRobinson.fun.
That's it. It's fair. Dot fun.
Well, that takes the pressure off of me, especially with the dog barking. The dog knew that I was coming and started to bark. I'm Elliot Hochberg from the podcast Never Not Funny. You can find me at ElliotHochberg.com. Yeah, probably figure out how to spell that at some point.
It's pretty straightforward.
Hi, I'm Garen Cockerell. You can find me on the internet at my name is Garen. Someone just came into my house. And also I Never Not Funny.
Yes. Thanks for coming back, Garen. And welcome to the show, Elliot. This is your
Thank you. Your
first time on. You've just like we were referencing Luke Skywalker, kind of Doctor Who transubstantiating into Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and so has Matt Belknap transubstantiated into Elliot Hochberg. Da-da-da-da.
Ta-da!
Well, thanks for hopping on for minute 140 of Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. 140 starts with Luke Skywalker noticing the sunset, and it ends with Luke staring off into said sunset. Mm-hmm.
He loves staring at sunsets, that guy.
He does. It's his favorite thing from his youth. He was like, oh, remember this?
Yeah.
Well, so this leads me to a question here. Right off the bat, let me start with a question.
Okay.
This is just him imagining that there's two suns there, right? Because it starts off, he's looking at one, and then it cuts to him, and he's like looking wistful and like kind of hallucinating maybe, and then he sees two suns. And then when it cuts back again, there's just one again. So he's just kind of like, oh, it's like when I was looking for adventure. Look at all that adventure I found. Hmm. And then kind of coming back to reality, right? To die. Sorry, that, spoiler that, alert.
I was, well, I mean, presumably people have watched this minute, so.
Hopefully.
So how can they spoil anything? But I thought that too. I thought this is clearly the filmmaker telling us there's one sun, because why would you only show one if there were two, given Luke's history. So right. I'm with you. I think that it's supposed to be he's remembering his youth, maybe remembering how he one-upped Obi-Wan Kenobi a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi actually just got swiped with a lightsaber, but Luke did a whole bunch of stuff, and I don't know if he thought he was going to die. I think he was a little surprised by that, because I think he thought he
Obi-Wan
got one over.
Or Luke here?
Luke, I think, no, okay. Obi-Wan knew for sure,
because
he sort of like, he just let his spirit go before he could actually be sliced, but Luke went out of his way in the previous minute to project himself somewhere, presumably so that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, and we were speculating yesterday, I think, that it could be the fall that killed him, too. He wasn't really expecting. He was floating a little bit too high and then fell on the rock and hurt himself. So that.
Well, here's the thing. I just watched this again. That, and we talked about it with Matt, like how that weird, how he ended up on the ground and put his hand in the thing. That is so clearly a reshoot and like and a pickup, because the scenes that show him on the rock in this minute match what happened in the previous minute when he just drops down.
Hmm.
Like every everything about his position is all it matches as if that one moment, that one rock grabbing moment, did not happen. So they shot that afterwards and stuck it in there because Ryan or whoever wanted some kind of a connection to Ray or something.
Well, yeah. Also, I wonder if that was maybe that it was when they just showed him kind of sitting on the rock and then looking off at the sunset and then kind of, you know, evaporating, that that wasn't clear enough, that it was he overexpended. People were like, why did he die? Like, maybe they figured they needed, oh, let's have him fall so you can tell that he really exerted himself and kind of claw back up. I don't know.
That's an interesting idea. Or maybe it was originally going to be in a different part of the film when maybe when he was, I don't know what he's wearing. Is he wearing the, can you definitely tell he's wearing the same clothes?
Does he have one set of clothes?
Yeah.
I think he wears a couple of different clothes.
Well, so you can't count, again, we're going back to the previous minute. You can't count his, you know, Just for Men dye job clothes as part of his outfit.
When he first lands, he's wearing the fancy white Jedi robes. But then as soon as he tells Rey to leave, he goes and he changes into a more like casual fisherman Luke Skywalker.
Casual Jedi.
Yeah, casual Jedi. So.
Changes into old stinky robes, so to encourage her to leave.
He does not want to wear his Sunday best when he's drinking that seed cow juice or whatever it is.
It's weird to think that, like, because it's weird to think that a hermit now, could he just go anytime he wanted to, just go for, oh, you know what, I'm going to check in and see what's going on over there. It's kind of takes it out. It kind of takes the allure of being a hermit out if anytime you want to, you can just pop in on someone by sending your force projection.
Oh. Well, to defend the movie and not have sarcasm, this killed him.
Right.
So you can't just go just anytime you want. I mean, maybe somewhere else on the planet, maybe it's a distance thing where he was like, oh, I'm going all across the galaxy to project myself and actually make it seem like I'm really there. But I don't think it's a convenience communication.
So you don't think
service.
You could do it like someone, you don't think you could do it like 5 feet away from you. So if you can do that, then what's the limit where you're like, okay, now you're too far. This
I don't
want
to go to the store on the corner because I don't want to get dressed. But if I just project myself going down to the store on the corner, well, then how would you get your stuff back? I guess that doesn't
make
sense.
Because it's a projection, although it's a very, as we've learned from Loki spoilers, you know, there's different kinds of ways you can clone yourself. And so in this way, it's a projection. He doesn't have a physical form, but it seems physical to the people nearby. It's that good.
But I think, like, so if you want to say you wanted to go to a restaurant, you force project yourself there and you say, I'd like to get a table for four, please. And they're like, okay, it'll be 15 minutes. Then you're like, okay, cool. And then you just go back and you're like, oh, we have 15 minutes to get to the restaurant because it's going to take that long.
So, or like
little things like that. It would be little conveniences to be able to project yourself somewhere.
Table for four. Is your whole party here? No, it's only three of us here. Okay, you got to wait. Oh, no, here's our guy. Like, and you're force projecting while you're like driving. You're like, I'm almost there. Like,
I think there could be a lot of situations where it could be handy to have a little force projection power. If you're late for work, you force project yourself. Oh, how you doing, boss? And then as soon as the boss sees you, you can go back and then continue, you know, limitless powers.
Well, and that brings
Luke having a job now. But
go on. Yeah, he's got, how's he going to, I mean, I guess he's got to, you know, his milk or whatever, but he's got to somehow get food.
I think he has an Etsy store.
he's selling Jedi some robes.
Little fish, Skywalker
originals.
But one imagines, I mean, we don't see anybody else demonstrate this power ever in Star Wars, right? Even in like the cartoons and stuff?
As far as I know, no.
I think so.
I think
so,
maybe later, I don't know. We're not caught up on that stuff as much as we are this. So
I don't think so. And so then the question becomes, how did he learn how to do it? When did he practice? Did he accidentally show up in somebody's house or bathroom? Right? Like,
excuse me. I'm looking for crates.
I'm so sorry. did not mean to project myself into your shower.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A likely story. It's a little a Brooklyn accent person. That was what I was trying to do anyway.
That's
I'm sorry. It's a likely story.
Yeah. That's like one of those cliche situations in Star Wars, films in the Star Wars, pornographic films in the Star Wars universe. The old trope about the Jedi accidentally force projecting himself into the lady's house. And
sure.
She's like, oh, it's like.
Anyway. I mean, to seriously address it, I mean, it's Luke wanted nothing to do with Jedi and the Force anymore. So he wouldn't.
True.
Because he could have easily, were it not something that would kill him, he could keep that legend of the Jedi alive and the legend of Luke alive by showing up places and being seen and being like, oh, there's, you know, whatever. But
yeah,
mm-hmm. It's kind of, it says a lot about the character that people were all mad that it's crotchety Luke, but this kind of shows that real Luke is still there and he brought him back when he needed it.
Right.
So, you know.
So in a way, Kylo Ren saved Luke.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, the legend of Luke.
So shut up, fanboys.
I know it's kind of being used for other purposes within the continuity within the Star Wars thing, but Legend of the Jedi sounds like it would be a good project, a good property in there somehow.
Oh yeah,
that's going to be a multi-platform marketing.
Oh
event,
yeah, like a phone surely. Game. Oh no, you mean like a
yeah, like the CEO High Republic thing where they're like, it's
oh,
going
right.
to be a
it's
video
be books,
game and a
video
novel
game
series,
and also like yeah, comics and all kinds of stuff.
I am available, Disney. I am a finalist in the screenwriting contest right now. Sci-fi fantasy.
There
you
go.
I'm perfect. Come get
right
me
there.
If you could pitch us an idea, if you could do a Star Wars, if you could do a Star Wars story, who would you? What would be your?
Oh, it would be Rose and Finn. You know,
Rose and
everybody's
Finn?
Favorite two, their favorite pair. Their zany, wacky adventures of Rose and Finn across the galaxy.
I hear that the internet is demanding it. I think
the internet is demanding it. Yes. Yeah. But no, I would love to do something with Finn. I think he got kind of a raw deal and I would, you know,
yeah.
I think he deserves, you know, to further explore.
I agree. I think we should totally have some Finn adventures from either happening, you know, after the, I guess we don't, these all kind of seamlessly blend one into the other, that he's unconscious at the end of the last one and wakes up at the beginning of this one. And then is there stuff? Yeah, there's a little bit between the end of this one and, Rise of Skywalker, so you could throw it in and could have some adventures there, or just, you know, post this.
Yeah, post this. I see Finn becoming General Finn at some point.
Mm.
Like I think he's
General.
He knows so much about the First Order and how they operate, and so I think he'd be a good strategic person. He's demonstrated his abilities to think on his feet and to make good choices. He may be Force sensitive, although I kind of think he isn't. But he may be, so that could be something too.
Yeah.
There must be a lot of people where you're always wondering, am I Force sensitive? Or like, you know, people who think they're psychic and all that, you know.
Or like, or so people think they have tetracolor eyesight.
Yeah.
Well, oh yeah, I can see that extra color.
That's like the gay of Star Wars. Like, am I gay?
So you think you might be
Force
sensitive.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I like to imagine Finn, given the traumatic nature of his early life, you know, he was raised by Nazis, basically. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see him having a more, like, maybe post-Star War, but, like, getting to have a regular life and, like, you know, getting to, you know, just do regular stuff as opposed to being involved in, like, fighting and war all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I just want him to peace out, man.
It's like a suburban dad sitcom.
Yeah. I want him to be coaching a kids soccer team. That would be a great franchise right there. Finn coaching soccer. A bunch of like tween adolescent girls.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Think about it. There's a story right there.
But it would have to be space soccer.
Right. Zero gravity. Look at that.
Oh, see, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do we see any
little
sports?
Death Stars they're kicking around.
There you go. Do we see any sports ever in Star Wars? I guess we do. We see the pod racing,
and then in Attack of the Clones on the TV, there's a couple of different. There's like robot football or robot rugby, essentially.
Mm.
Well, there's also a 50s diner in Attack of the Clones, so true. I don't really think.
Now, is Dex's diner a retro diner, or is it that the you know what I mean? Is
the
he
style of
trying
that time.
To be old fashioned, or is that just the what diners look like? We don't know.
Well,
it's such a weird moment. People are pissed off about the casino planet or whatever, but there's a literal Alice diner here, and you guys are not saying anything about that. Like, there's no history connection to our world and their world, and yet.
So, fanboys, kiss my grits.
Right?
Stifle yourself.
Oh, well, I mean, they're also all speaking English, so maybe the whole film is just an interpretation because we wouldn't understand because they wouldn't be human beings, they wouldn't be speaking English. They
it's
wouldn't
not really
sit in
a
diner.
50s diner, but it's their version of what a 50s does. The same vibe as what
exactly.
a 50s
diner. It's what we would understand.
Have you seen that clip that's going around of Carl Sagan on The Tonight Show talking about Star Wars? That is absolutely wonderful.
He tore right into it without any hesitation.
Yeah, it was interesting.
I liked Carl Sagan too.
Yeah. in the past tense.
Well, now that he's attacked Star Wars, he's obviously the enemy. So
hey,
everybody's human and everybody's white. That was basically that's a summary of that video.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
I had we see here the
see here
my good man.
We referenced it, but Rey and Leia kind of feeling that disturbance and
yes,
Rey seems to just kind of notice it, whereas like Leia, it seems like a gasp, like a more like visceral.
That would make sense.
Startle, I guess it does. Yeah, I guess so. She's his brother, and Rey is just like, you know, it's like somebody she met.
But it's also like, new to her. Like that's a feeling that she probably wasn't familiar with, and that looking back at Leia is confirmation. Like, oh, is that what that means? That means Luke's gone. That means
did she not feel Alderaan? I know that Obi-Wan did. Did she not feel?
No,
Alderaan?
I'm talking about Rey.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Right, but no, Leia didn't. Well, Leia felt. I don't know. We don't see her.
I think when Han died, she felt it. I think they cut back to her. Yeah, I think Leia felt it.
Right, Rey saw it. She didn't have to feel it, but
no. She felt nothing.
That's an interesting question. Does that also, like, is that also different across distance? Like, if you were in orbit around Alderaan when it exploded, I guess you'd die. But, but like, if you were in the system when it exploded, would you feel it more than, you know, in hyperspace or
it's
or
probably a combination of the amount of deaths and the force sensitivity of the person. And also perhaps their relationship to the people who are dying, because in Revenge of the Sith, we see Yoda reacting to the Order 66 when all the Jedi are getting killed all over the galaxy. So he's very force sensitive, but they're scattered all over the galaxy, but he's obviously has a close relationship with them, or at least he's their manager.
But what he feels Grogu responsible experience? For. How does he feel about Order? I mean, he survived it theoretically, so
yeah. Well, the question also remains is where is Grogu now during the events of The Last Jedi?
Right.
Did he was he at the school when
if he was with Luke, it lends the belief that he is no longer among the living.
Right.
So yeah. that's interesting.
That night Grogu was partying with his friends down at the library.
Right. So he came back and he's like, whoa, what happened?
That's why Luke doesn't want those books anymore, because he remembers what happened to Grogu.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so if you were looking to, if they were looking to double down and really make Kylo Ren more of a villain, adding that fact in there is like, oh, he destroyed the temple and killed Baby Yoda. Everybody would be like, no, oh, what a monster.
No way. Yeah. Mm. It's bad enough he killed Han Solo and we're expected to feel bad for him, but yeah, that would be a bridge too far.
Yeah.
Just decapitates Grogu. It's in the comics.
I was thinking more like a skewer type thing where he'd like slowly slide down the blade, you know.
Oh, it's Friday the 13th part 4 style.
There you go.
I'm sorry, I thought I was on a different podcast.
Do you think how do you think Rey feels, because now that she knows, like, she basically guilted Luke into coming and it killed him, is she like, oh, like, well, I guess it got us out of one jam. I mean,
right.
I mean that's an interesting question though, like, because now she's the last, she's the only one now.
She is the titular last Jedi now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But,
so
it's pressure.
We're allowed to talk about things that happen after this, right? The spoiling the future thing. Yeah. So she's a Palpatine, right?
Yes.
So as a Palpatine,
what she was told.
We could always retcon everything if you're going to go that far.
I mean, so far, you know, we're going to take the word of you know, people who have been known to lie.
I hate so much. The idea of Rey coming from nothing is so inspiring for people.
Yeah.
For people that who are descended from rich bloodlines also need to be inspired. They should have,
I guess,
seen themselves on screen for once.
Yeah, it would be. You're right. Yeah,
finally.
You're right. at last.
Representation. Yes.
But if we assume, oh boy, I just turned 13. If we assume that Rey is a Palpatine, then, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that personality is genetic, but Palpy didn't really care much about what happened to other people. Maybe she's just like, because she's just kind of, in that moment, she's kind of looking like, huh.
She's a sociopath. She's like, boy, other people are sad and I feel nothing.
I mean, maybe. Feelings?
Yeah.
She doesn't, because to me, if you learn that somebody who you saw as a mentor just died.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you kind of be like, wait, what? Like, you'd be surprised. You'd be confused. Maybe you'd be upset. I don't see any of that. It's more like, oh, okay.
Well, I think
it was basically, trust your feelings, Rey. I don't have any.
Right. What is that? Feelings. I think it's a combination. I think like we said, it's new to her. She's like, what is that feeling? What does that mean?
What is this thing called love?
Yeah. What's this thing called love? And then also she has a, I think kind of knowing what Luke was up to and knowing kind of that he's, I think that, you know, that feeling is like, oh, he's becoming one with the Force, whereas she is more, you know, it's not like he's dying. It's like, oh, he's becoming more, kind of more present, essentially. He's becoming kind of like now part of this whole thing, becoming. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, I think that might, Leia didn't really get any of the updates as to, you know, she doesn't really know, as far as I can tell, she doesn't even know that Rey found Luke. She was like, oh, they just went off on the, followed the map. Like, she hasn't, I don't know how many, if she's gotten any updates from anybody as to what's going on. So all of a sudden she's just like, oh,
map.
Hey, I just saw Luke, you know, walking in here. And now I feel like he's gone, like from somewhere else. Like, did she know that it was a projection earlier? And if not, then maybe that's why she's surprised, because she's just like, wait a minute. I'm getting a message that Luke died on Act Two, but here I just saw him standing out front, you know, by the garage door.
There's no current canon of Leia training as a Jedi, or is there?
There is a comic, I think.
But is it current canon?
In Rise of Skywalker, we see her training Rey as like a. Oh no, we see her and Luke.
Yeah, we see a flashback together, right? To her
and Luke.
Oh, that's
what I'm
together.
Thinking of.
Okay. Yeah, that's it.
I thought that was a comic.
Yeah, but it was Lieutenant Konix playing Leia in that scene,
right?
So,
and it seems like, I don't know. Yeah, it it seems to me, you know, my read on it, which is not, you know, it's vague enough that it's open to interpretation still, but my read on it is that she was never fully interested in going down the full on Jedi path. She just, you know, did some training. She wasn't, it didn't come naturally to her, and she stuck kind of more to the, you know, she dabbled in it and stuck more to kind of politics and war, which was her forte.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, yeah, like, there'd be other knights aren't the only, you know, she'd be like the librarian. She'd be like Jocasta Nu in Attack of the Clones. She'd be right. Like, there you go. You know, she was a Jedi, but she wasn't like a go out and fight people generally kind of Jedi.
Right. Although
I mean, that's why it makes sense that it activated when she was unconscious, like when she was about to die. That,
right.
Yeah.
That's the reason I can believe that that scene is successful. It's because
the stress.
It was involuntary. Right. It just happened. It was, you know.
The midichlorians decided. because of the nature of this minute, I want to share a little something about when I first kind of learned about editing and stuff. There was a thing called Laser Pacific, and it had these laser discs. And when they would shoot dailies for a TV show, they would put them on laser discs, and they had a bunch of things. And I got a chance to train. It was an episode of Quantum Leap. And so Scott Bakula, doing a great job. Whoever that week's guest star was, the person who was training us went out of his way to say, now I want you to watch what happens when she's not talking. And so she would say her line and then she would kind of just look off to the side. And he was like, well, I can't use her because she's not looking around. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take something from Scott while he's reacting to her stuff or whatever and put him in, or I'm going to go to him. But the other thing they taught us with all that was, you could also go to, like, there was this one spot where she wasn't giving anything when the cameras were rolling, but they needed a reaction shot for her for something. So he went to before action and she was just kind of looking and they were still rolling. And then they grabbed something there and popped that in. So my point is, this scene is all that. It's all just no talking.
And a bag of chips.
And a bag of chips. It's all just no talking. And any of the, like, we're putting interpretations into this from the actor's perspective, from the writer's perspective. The only real interpretations are the director and the editor, where they, for all we know, some of these were outtakes. And right, they're just like, well, we just need somebody to look in a certain way. We'll pop it in. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe one of these things, like maybe the scene that they actually shot didn't get them what they wanted. And so they went, oh, wait, this is a good one. We'll use this. We use that part where Mark Hamill is.
So you're saying that despite what the actors are doing, when they were doing these scenes, they might have been thinking something entirely different.
100%.
Thinking about anything at all. They might just be, you know.
I love the idea that shot of Rey is just somebody who's like, launch! She just like,
huh? And the operator had the wherewithal to do a push.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's that? There's that famous experiment where they show different, is it just stills or footage of you know, silent footage or stills of people, and then they change the music and ask people for their reactions, and there's like, oh, that person's very sad, or oh, that person's happy, depending on what the music playing with it
was. That person's about to die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think let's try this. Let's put some like Calliope music behind it and see what we think about.
Yakety sax, go to. and nice shots of Luke at sunset.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I like how it also parallels the fact that he was looking, it's basically echoes the shots of him when he was facing off against the First Order, where he was also looking into the sun. So
it's convenient how it's sunset in both places.
Is it convenient, or is he using the Force to hold the sun there so that they line up perfectly?
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
He's not only kind of apparating himself, he created another sun. That's why it took all the energy out of him. I'm going to bring me, I'm going to bring the sun. So it's dramatic.
Yeah.
Keep my lighting.
Right. Well, that's all I had for 140. Elliot, I know we've kind of, this is your first time here, and just your overall, what's your overall feeling about this movie? You like this movie?
I like this movie well enough. It had some issues, I suppose. I thought they were having fun with, you know, the Hoth parallel and then the bloody salt things. I like the, you know, a lot of Star Wars is the design of the ships and the mechs and all those sorts of things. And I thought I liked the what are they called? The ATGTs? What are the What are the gorilla AT-ATs? I'm not supposed to say AT-AT. That's not a thing, right?
Well,
the AT-AT.
No. Definitely AT-AT. Come on.
There are people who would get mad, I think.
I know, but we're mad at those people, so we're always yes. mad at. But
I'm mad at both of you. They're called Imperial Walkers.
Yeah, Alex is a traditional or a literalist. What's that? Where it's they only say Imperial Walkers in the movie, but they say AT-AT in the commercials for the toys. So that's my source.
Yeah. ATM-6.
ATM-6. So
gorilla hands.
I dug that design. The sort of portable Death Star thing was a little bit weird.
Right.
But sure, fine, whatever. I mean, there's some things that don't work, and there are things where, you know, they don't deliver on what some of the characters could have done. But I like the movie overall. This is the one where although we have the this is Snoke dies in this one, right? That's mm-hmm. That's the big scene. That was a weird one. Like the whole sort of choreographed dance moves battle with the dudes in red.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw it the first time, I was like, wait, why don't they do that? Wait, couldn't they just kill him like that? But I did like the force activation of the blade. That was cool.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I liked it overall. I'm not mad at it.
Is it like at the middle of the pack, you'd say, in terms of the Star Wars?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the 4, 5, and 6 are at the top, but now we have all these other things to now draw into. So are we comparing it to, you know, yes. Mandalorian? Are we comparing it to Clone Wars animated series?
Yes.
And so if you do that, I think it slots down like bottom middle, because I think a lot of the animated series do a pretty good job. Mandalorian does a pretty good job as far as
where
being...
would I put the Mandalorian if it was a movie?
Under M.
Oh,
yeah,
that's right.
That's a good point. Well, T, depending on what kind of person you are.
Well, yeah, that's true. If we're a robot.
Comma, the.
You're all wrong. I file them in release order.
Oh, excellent.
I don't know. I would put the Mandalorian pretty highly so far.
Yeah.
I hope they don't louse it up.
Just like Return of the Jedi and the Mandalorian in the last year or so have really suffered my revisiting them with more critical eye. I've been like, although, no, that's not true. Return of the Jedi has come back. Seeing it in the theater, I got to see it in the theater a couple months ago.
With your kids. That's
with my kids. And it was like, oh, this is perfect. Like, it's big and it's fun and it's great. I get it. Yeah. But
to me, the Mandalorian kind of lands the whole sort of pulp space sci-fi idea better than I kind of think all the other movies even.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Star Wars is a space opera, but it's kind of also a Western.
Mm-hmm.
And Mandalorian really does that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the Mandalorian, but it really is the same thing every episode. It's Mando, go get this for me and then bring it back. And then we can fight for a minute. It's
season two was Mando's trying to find the Jedi and he goes to one person who says, oh, you're looking for the Jedi. You have to find this other person. And then that person says, oh, you have to go find that person. It's
like you're watching an MMO. It's quest after quest. Yeah. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love the overall arc and story of it. Last Jedi is one of my favorite Star Wars movies. I love it. So
awesome.
Yeah. Remember there being you guys on your show, Never Not Funny, but discussing it when it came out and being like, oh, good. Like they seem to, you know, even though I don't think anybody hated it over there, right? You guys were all like, oh, that was good. Like, or up to, I remember Garen specifically stating that this will be, history will shine on The Last Jedi, but.
Pompous prick.
and you know, I mean, I've watched some of the critical reviews, like your Red Letter Medias and so forth, of The Last Jedi. And they make some good points. I think you should allow yourself to have fun in life. And and I don't think that The Last Jedi ruins that. But I can kind of empathize. Like, I actually liked, you know, The Phantom Menace. I liked it. But I like, you know, Roman intrigue movies. And so if you're going to talk about trade contracts, I'm fine with that. But the only thing that the prequels ruined was the midichlorians. I think that was the biggest mistake that the prequels made.
How many times did you see Phantom Menace in the theater?
Just once.
Just once?
Yep.
Garen, how about you?
I think maybe twice, but I was there opening day because I was visiting my mom and my brother in New Mexico. They had lived there that year, weirdly. So I saw it there. I think we saw it twice. I'm not 100% sure. But I will say that I think The Phantom Menace is the best of the three prequels. And I know that's controversial to a lot of people, but
Elliot is nodding in agreement.
I agree.
I disagree. Yeah. And Pete agrees.
So, 3-1, Alex, you lose. Sorry.
You guys are right.
Shocked.
It didn't have as much of the Transformers disease as the other two. I remember who I watched, but they kind of explain why the Transformers are so hard to watch. They never follow shot by shot, like where your eye is. You're kind of always all over the place and too much is happening. And I think as those three movies went, story-wise, maybe more than visually, that was happening a lot. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on. Why do we have to have so much happening? Whereas Phantom Menace was pretty clear.
Yeah, but George Lucas is not an actor's director.
Right.
He is a shot guy. He is a cinematographer,
sure,
more so than anything.
A technician.
And I don't think he's a very good writer, and I don't think he's a very good, very well-rounded director. And I think that is what harmed those prequels.
Sure.
That if he would have done the same thing he did with the original ones and let someone else
help
come in and work on those prequels, we would have gotten a different, more successful trilogy.
If I were a super good director producer and I had the ability to kind of like,
if
you look at the outline of all nine of those movies, like the bullet points of the things that happen, I don't think there's anything wrong with them. I think they're all fine. The only time that problems come in is in the story execution. In a similar way to Game of Thrones, the last season of Game of Thrones, if you look at the bullet points, yeah, I could do that. But then when you realize, oh, here's the motivation that you gave that character, well, that doesn't make any sense. Did you watch any of the other things that you did? And right. So I think that's where some of these movies start to fall apart. Visually, they all have fun. They all have all the lightsabery things and everything you want. But, you know, if you think about them too much, that's where they start having problems. But that doesn't bother me.
Right.
Boy, I hate to be someone who has to think a lot about Star Wars.
Oh, there are torture.
Well, thanks to both of you for coming by and thinking about Star Wars with us this week, this episode in particular. Once again, obviously Never Not Funny, but your individual places. Now, you're ElliotHopeberg.com. And
that's the easiest way to find me.
Why am I doing it? You can plug yourselves. Why am I reading off your plugs for memory?
So yeah, you can head over to ElliotHochberg.com and you'll find my Twitter link and the Twitch link, and Fictional Brands has got a link there for t-shirts and stuff. Just go there and look around. There's too many things there, and so you probably missed something.
And Garen?
Believe it or not, I do not have GarenCockrell.com, but you can find me on Patreon, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Twitch. I stream constantly. / my name is Garen.
It's handy.
That's my...
But no, I was going to get into it. It's like, wait, do you not own it because somebody else owns it? Did somebody else?
No, I had it. Okay. Never did anything with it. And I think it expired. Okay. So I don't think anybody else has it. I'm not that.
Yet.
If I may, I think you should get mynameisgaren.com and then you'd be all set.
Yeah.
I probably should.
To be on the safe side, you should get mynameisgaren and garencockrell.com and garencockrell.fun. Just so all your bases are covered. It's the way of the future.
Well, in the future, we will be back. In the meantime, if you want to hear more from Alex and I, we've got two shows this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, available on our Patreon. That's StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon. We are, I think, still working our way through the Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back, Star Wars book. We're talking about every individual story over on the Saturday show, and then the Sunday show is a mishmash of whatever. Sometimes it's not even Star Wars. Who knows?
Many times, not even Star Wars.
Many times, it's not even Star
Wars. I don't
know
what we're going to talk about now that hockey's over. How long is until it comes back?
October, usually.
Oh, boy.
But we'll see. We'll be there, and then we'll be back here on Monday for a brand new Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute!
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.